Morning, 12th Street. Would you stand with us, please?
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my past behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hand to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. I'm putting my fears aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm giving my hopes and dreams to you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hand to yours, believing there's so much more. Knowing that all you have in store for me, it's good. It's good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. And I will stand upon your truth.
And I will stand upon your truth.
And all my days I'll live for you.
And all my days I'll live for you.
And I will stand upon your truth.
And I will stand upon your truth.
And all my days I'll live for you.
And all my days I'll live.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Today is the day.
Well, good morning, 12th Street. You may have a seat. It's great to have you here this morning. I'm glad that we can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If you're here visiting with us this morning, we want to say welcome to you. It's our privilege to have you with us. Thank you for choosing to be with us. And I hope that today you will enjoy yourself, that you'll learn some things about the Lord, and that if you are looking for a church family, here is a great church family. Tell you, there's a great group of people here to join with. If you haven't filled out one of our visitor brochures and you're here with us this morning, we'd like to get one of those into your hand to fill out the card so we can have a record of your visit. So if you didn't get a card and haven't filled that out, if you could raise your hand up in the air real quick so we can get that to you and get you to fill that out. All right, thank you. All right. Well, we have several announcements to go through here this morning. And the first one is that Michael Thompson and Julie Workman are getting married. Woo-hoo! And they wanted to let you know that the invitation is open for you to come to the wedding. It is Saturday the 28th at 3 p.m. The ceremony's at 3, and there's a spaghetti dinner to follow. Now, if you haven't told... Okay, Scott's excited about the spaghetti dinner. If you are planning on coming and you haven't, you didn't RSVP, she needs you to sign up at the Welcome Center because she needs to know how much food to have there available. So if you're planning on going, make sure that you've either already told her or that you are, or sign up at that sheet. The men's softball team has a makeup game at 7:45 on Monday night, tomorrow night. If you are not able to attend, men, please see Brian because he needs to make sure that we have our full team outfitted. So, men, remember that. The small groups, many of them are starting tonight. There are two that will not be starting tonight. One is Marcia Cooter's group. She is very ill right now, and we need to keep her in prayer. She has pneumonia, and it's worse probably than what she even is letting on. And so make sure that you pray for Marcia and her health. But also, if you are planning on going to that small group, that will not be starting this week. She's hoping to feel better next week, and we'll just play that one by ear. I don't know if she'll be ready next week. Also, my small group will not be starting until next week. And so all those that were that signed up or planning on attending mine, we will be starting on the 29th. But all the rest are starting, and the start times are out there at the Welcome Center. And if you haven't signed up, that's okay. Get on board. The small groups are a wonderful opportunity to get to know people and also to study God's Word together. And if you say, well, I'm not going to be part of a small group, but I'd like to know what they're studying, the books are at the Welcome Center, and feel free to pick one of those up. We ask for a $3 donation to cover the cost of printing, but if you don't want to pay that, then you don't have to. Just pick one up. All right. For the rest of the announcements, we have a drive-in movie night next Saturday night. And the plan is this, 8:30 start time. And I'm praying that God gives us a nice overcast night and that the projector will be nice and clear. Problem is, it's been too bright and we don't want to start the movie at 10:30 because then the little ones won't be able to, or some of the older ones won't be able to attend either. So, here's the plan. We're going to eat outside. We have great food, and we get there at 8:30, and if it's dark enough, we'll show the movie outside. Otherwise, we'll move the movie indoors into the gym, and the food will be available inside, but we will start the movie any later than 9 o'clock, and the movie will be done by about 10:45. So anyway, we'd love for all the families to be there. We'd love for all of you to come out, invite your neighbors. We have invitations at the Welcome Center for you to pick up and invite your friends, your family, your coworkers. It's going to be a great night, and we'd love to have everybody involved with that. Vacation Bible School is starting up very quickly, and so want to make sure that if you could be a part of helping with that, there's an announcement about it in the bulletin. There are some things that are needed. Also, you can see Brooke Camp. She's got a table out there in the Welcome Center. And so make sure that you, if you could help out with VBS to do that. Yes?
I need to meet with the ladies who are doing the Tuesdays at the park. We're going to pick a different location for this Tuesday. So meet after church up front here.
Okay, so ladies at the park, you're getting a new park, so please meet up here. All right. It's our pleasure this morning to have with us the Verklers. Brian shared with us in Sunday school, and he's going to share again with us in just a couple moments. And if you would like to give a special love offering for the Verklers this morning, when we have our meet and greet time, we have some envelopes in the back by the brown box. If you want to pick up one of those envelopes and put a special gift for them in there, just make sure you write on there missionary or something like that so that the ladies who count can get that designated to the right area. And also, if you want and you say, well, I write one check, that's fine. If you want to add a little bit to that check, just make sure you break out on your envelope. You designate how much you want going towards each. But it makes it easy if you grab a special envelope for that. We would appreciate that. All right. Well, those are the announcements. Let's go to the Lord together this morning in prayer. Father, I thank you so much that as we meet here, that you are a great God that loves us, that helps us, that is ever present with us. And I pray, Lord, especially for Marcia this morning with her health, that you would just be a special help to her as she's going through a very serious illness. And also, Lord, I pray for Pat Joyce this morning, that you would be with him, give him strength. Lord, be with all those in our church who are facing physical difficulties. And we thank you, God, that as we call out to you, you know what's going on. You know better than our requests. And we just ask that you, God, would show yourself great. As we meet here this morning, Lord, we don't want to just come and play church. We don't want to just be here this morning and just say, oh, I had a good time. Lord, we really want to hear from you, and we want to please you. And so, God, receive all of the glory that we can offer up this morning. And I pray that you would meet with us, that you would send your Spirit to speak to us in a very real and personal way. And so, Lord, we love you. Please be pleased by our expressions of love this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
Let's go ahead and start making our way back to our seats.
Missionary. It's a missionary. All right, if we could find our seats. And while you're finding your seat, I'm going to invite Brian to come on up here. Brian Verkler. And Michelle, if she wants to come with you, however you want to do that. She'd rather stay with the kids. All right, that's good. All right, so Brian and Michelle are going to Ottawa, and he's going to share with us a little bit about the ministry there that he'll be involved with and what's going on right now. And so, Brian, come on up and share with us.
Well, good morning. Again, it is just great to be with you guys this morning, be fellowshipping, meeting some of you, and worshiping our great God together. As I pointed out in Sunday school this morning, many people don't have the privilege and opportunity we have this morning because they've never heard of Christ, and they don't know the truth, and they don't have a church they can go to. So we're burdened for those in Canada in that regard. And I'd actually like to show you a video that sums up a lot of what our ministry and our family is about. And I usually challenge people to look for the two reasons that really stirred our hearts to go to Canada to plant churches. So we'll show that video at this time and see if you can find those two reasons.
In Canada at night, you can see what is called the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights. They are such a beautiful creation. Watching them just reminds me of why God wants us to go to Canada. There's a lot of people in Canada who live in spiritual darkness. We want to give these people the light, the truth that Jesus died for their sins, and then walk alongside them as they become northern lights that will shine all over the world. Hi, my name is Brian, and this is my wife Michelle with our kids.
Me and Brian have been to Canada twice now. When we first got there, I was, pretty excited about it. It reminded me a lot of New Zealand, where I was brought up, and the European culture. It loves coffee, and I am a coffee lover myself.
God has been at work bringing men from every nation to live in Canada. There, we have the opportunity to be witnesses to all parts of the world in one place, Ottawa. There are currently 125 foreign embassies in Ottawa. Ottawa has a radio station that broadcasts in 20 languages to 37 distinct people groups, with its many immigrants, Canada has become the most ethnically diverse country in the world.
Canada, everyone don't really believe in the absolute truth. Everything is relative. We see absolute truth as offensive. And we try to be tolerant to everyone. And that's Canada culture.
I think one thing that really, really attracted me to Canada is the fact that there are so many people from other countries and they're caught up in their false religions. And I believe the Lord has placed a desire in my heart to want to reach them for Him.
I believe that the Lord has placed it in my heart to go to Ottawa, Canada. This is because of the great need there spiritually. It's a very spiritually dark place. But secondly, because of the great opportunity that awaits us. There are so many different people groups there. By going there to share the truth, not only do we reach those who are in Canada, but those who are around the world who need to hear about Jesus. Those in Canada will rebound the gospel back to where they came from. Many of those places are very difficult for us as Americans to get into.
For me, on a personal level, having a church as well would be some way that understanding the Bible and getting to know more about it will definitely benefit me. And if there's somewhere to go to and get, you know, more mentoring and guidance, like a church, would definitely be a good thing.
We believe God wants us to establish strong churches in Canada, churches that can be a strong base for new believers of all backgrounds. As believers grow and are discipled, they can rebound to their home countries to reach their own people with the gospel. In order to best fulfill our vision, we want to be part of a church planting team, and we want to partner with BMW missionaries Rob and Donna Hiremans, who are already working in Ottawa.
If you were to go to the through the streets of this part of Ottawa, you would find almost no churches at all. And the ones that you would find would be very small and in most instances would not teach the Bible.
The Lord has opened doors in amazing ways. We never thought we would have so many contacts as we've gotten in recent months.
The second trip we met like a lot of their contacts, and when we were there we just felt, you know, at a peace, or we just knew that this is where God wanted us. It was more of a confirmation. And then when we had to leave, it was kind of like we were leaving our home, you know, because this is where we wanted to be. That was where, you know, our heart's desire is right now.
Yeah, we appreciate so much their adventuresome spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, you hang around us very long, and there's no telling what might happen or what you might end up eating, or, you know, where you might go and who you might go with.
I really feel that God has gifted Brian and Michelle to be able to interact really well with people. And we're just excited about having them come and work with us.
We also believe in the vital importance and biblical role of a sending church. Fortunately for us, we have two.
Brian and Michelle have been with us for 4 years, and we've worked, Brian and I worked together hard at strengthening the ministry of the local church. And helping us to be more effective, but in helping us accomplish what God wants us to do in fulfilling the Great Commission.
Brian and Michelle have had experience with us here at the church. We have watched them even recently as they develop relationships for evangelistic purposes, for discipleship purposes. We believe this is what we are sending them to do, to evangelize, to disciple. And they are doing that here. They have proven that they can do it. They are doing it. And therefore, we're sending them to Canada to do these things.
This is a very exciting ministry, just great opportunities that we greatly want to be part of. We really believe God has opened these doors to us. We're just excited to be able to get there and begin doing the work that He has for us there. Okay, so hopefully you are able to recognize the two reasons we really feel stirred to go to Canada. One is it is very spiritually dark there, very ecumenical, very tolerant of many belief systems and views. But secondly, because of the great opportunities there, opportunities to make relationships with people rather quickly, but then opportunities to see the gospel rebound to many parts of the world and where we can reach much of the world in Canada. So very excited about these things. Again, my name is Brian Verkler. My wife, Michelle, is back there, and we have four kids, and we're from the southern Michigan area. Raising support to go to Canada. We have about 55% of our support, And so we're excited about how the Lord is providing there. And I just wanted to make you aware of a few pieces of literature. If you'd like to know anything else about our ministry or if you'd like to pray for us, we do have prayer cards here. If you'd like to take any of those and pray for us, we'd love that. We also are trying to establish a prayer force, get 300 people to commit to praying for us daily. And if you'd like to join us in that way, we'd love that. But we have about 155 of those right now. And you pick up one of these cards on our table and fill out a section and leave it with us and keep the other section yourself. We have a brochure that explains a lot of the statistics about Ottawa and information about our family and our teammates and many other things about Canada. If you'd like to take that, please do so. And then we also have a clipboard where you can sign your email address or physical address where we could send mail to you and keep you updated about us. We'd love to be able to do that too. So again, we just thank you for allowing us to come this morning and share with you how God is working in Canada and how God is working in our lives. And we'd love to continue to meet you and answer any other questions you might have for us later. Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for just allowing us the opportunity to be able to come to your house today, Lord, to just worship you. Please be with this offering that's about to take place, Lord. Please bless it. Help us be cheerful givers. And this we ask in your name. Amen.
I know how have come. Who closer to you. As I learned to trust that no one else could love me more. So when it hurts so bad that I can't understand, I'll just lift mine eyes to you, Lord. 'Cause through it all, it's just so good to know that you make the rainbow after the rain. Though dark clouds may rise above, oh, I know there'll be sun again. And no matter how fierce the storm, your love doesn't change. You still make the rainbow after the rain. You still make the rainbow after the rain. Though dark clouds may rise above, oh, I know there'll be sun again. And no matter how fierce the storm,
God, he does make the rainbow after the rain. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, it's always interesting how when you see people go through battles of this life, you can always tell the ones that have, that know God and have Jesus and that don't. Just because when you go through those struggles, you either become bitter or you learn to cling to him. And thank God that we can cling to him. Would you stand with us, please? Because he is mighty to save. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can bring.
God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy.
See that Lord of heaven and earth, that tabernacle of heaven.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Yes, I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to
Be seated. At this time, we're going to dismiss the children for children's worship.
I can't think of a better thing in the world than to praise our God, right? To worship Him. What a holy God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. And the song we just sang, that's straight from the book of Revelation. That's exactly what heaven is doing right now, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." And someday we'll join that chorus in heaven, but it's nice to be able to do it together here on earth, isn't it? Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. After church one morning, a little boy, he was so moved by the service. He was sitting at the dinner table, and his mom and dad said, "Hey, why don't you pray for dinner?" And so he bowed his head, and he said, "Lord, thank you for this food." And usually, you know, at our house, you know, dinner prayers are very short because it's time to eat. But he stopped, and he said, "Lord, church was so great this morning. It was so moving. It was so wonderful. I wish you could have been there." You know, this morning as we are meeting together, I hope it is wonderful. I hope that it is moving. But more than anything, I hope that you know that the Lord is here with us. In Acts chapter 17, we join Paul, the Apostle Paul, on his second missionary journey. He and Silas are partners, and Timothy has joined the group. They've already been to Philippi. They were beaten, put in prison. They sang at midnight, and they were delivered from prison. And now in chapter 17, Paul continues to move on. And in verse 1 in chapter 17, it tells us the towns that they're in. They go through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica, where there's a synagogue. Now, there's a different way that Paul will preach to those in a synagogue, because a synagogue is full of Jews, than he will to a Gentile crowd. And we're going to see that this morning. And as Paul, verse 2, his manner was, he went into them and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. You know, this is how we have to approach a religious, Bible-believing person. You say, "Well, can you be Bible-believing and not a Christian?" Yes. There are hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of them on the planet. that profess to believe the Bible but don't know Jesus Christ. And this is how Paul reasons with them. He argues with them. He shows them the scriptures. And what does he conclude with them? This is what we need to understand. This is how we need to learn evangelism tactics. We need to learn these things from Paul. Well, verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is Christ. So as Paul preaches to the Jew, the Christ, the Messiah, is who they have been looking for. And he says, Jesus, he is Christ. Now, it doesn't matter what religious thought someone may have. Ultimately, they need a final resting place for their faith. And you know, every single person has to come to the realization that it's Jesus Christ. I'm glad it doesn't end in the church. Amen? Because the church is full of people and we're all fallible. I'm glad it doesn't reside with a hierarchical system where there's some pope or bishop or somebody that presides over our faith. I'm glad that there's no human being that provides over my faith. I'm glad it's just Jesus Christ. And I'm really glad that it's not some ancient philosopher who lived and died, and you can go visit their tomb today. And their bones are still in there. And I'm glad that our faith doesn't reside in that, because our faith resides in Jesus Christ, who not only died, but rose again. And there's no tomb you can go to on earth to find his remains, because he's not there. He's risen. So then we come to verse 4. Some of them believed, consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. And so Paul's effective in his presentation, and it's interesting that many Greeks are following the faith here. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. When they didn't find them, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come here also." 12th Street, that's my goal. That when people talk about 12th Street Baptist Church, they say, that's a group of people that are turning the world upside down. All Jason was doing was housing Paul and Silas. That's Jason's. I'm sure that church is meeting at Jason's house also, and I'm sure that the church is part of this equation. But isn't that a great goal for us to have? That when people look at us, they say, these are people that are turning the world upside down. Now, they didn't mean it in a good way, but in verse 7, it says, "Whom Jason has received, and these do all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And you know what? If it ever came down to it, where they said, well, you can preach Jesus, but you can't preach that he is the one and only king. We just sang that in the song, the only wise king. We just sang that. And if it ever came down to a point where they said, you can't preach that Jesus is the only way, and the bumper sticker that Brian showed us during the Sunday school hour, coexist. I hate that bumper sticker. You know why? Because it puts all religion equally. Well, you know what you can do with religion? Throw it away. Because it's just Jesus Christ. And if it ever comes to a point in time where we lose freedom, or we lose opportunities because we preach Jesus, we have to continue to preach Jesus. Now, fortunately, in this passage, in verse 10, the brethren immediately find out that the Jews are trying to have Paul and Silas and the traveling companions arrested. So they send them away unto Berea. And in Berea, they're amazed by these people in Berea. They say, you are more noble, in verse 11, than the people in Thessalonica, because when we preach something unto you, you search the scriptures to see whether these things are so. And you know, and that's what you should be doing every single time you hear a message preached. Check it out. Make sure it's what God's word says. Don't take everything that's said as, oh, that must be the truth. He said it. That's kind of like the person that goes to Wikipedia. And they're going to find all the answers for life on Wikipedia. You know, I did that the other day. I typed in, what is the meaning of life? And the Wikipedia answer was 42. All right, whatever. Go figure. All right. Listen, there's one answer to life. And you know what it is? It's Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know. I think there might be something else. Okay, search the scriptures. Because in the scriptures, you will find the truth. Many people believe in Berea. And as we get down to verse 16, we find Paul he's gone away from Berea. Let's read from verse 14. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens. Now he's leaving the circle of influence that the Jews had. Now he's in a place where the Jews really don't have much influence. The synagogue will not be the religious place to preach. In receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for them to come to him quickly, so they departed. Let's keep reading here in verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. You know, anytime you have a whole bunch of religions, you have a whole bunch of idolatry. And as we were hearing the presentation about Canada, it just kept going through my mind, a place full of idolatry. See, to worship any god other than Jesus Christ is to worship an idol. There's only one God, there's only one Savior, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, his spirit stirred up in him, and Paul can't keep quiet. And this is the difference probably between Paul and many of us, is that when Paul's spirit is stirred up and he's angry, he doesn't keep it in and go home and unload on his wife. No, he unloads on the people who need to hear it. Verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. So he found every place that they were. He did find the synagogue, but he went to the marketplace here. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. Now, just simply to understand, they wanted to know truth. They were seekers of truth. And so some of them thought that they could find truth in written words. Some of them thought they could find truth in new revelations that people were thinking up. These were thinkers who never stopped thinking because they never came to a conclusion of truth. In fact, maybe today we could most easily identify these people with the agnostic. That, well, you just can't know truth. And so these people hear Paul speak, and they want to hear him some more. Here's what they say. They encountered him. Some said, what will this babbler say? Others said, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. They took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof you speak is. For you bring certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. I want to tell you about him. Now, this is a different approach than what Paul took in the synagogue. Here, Paul won't go to the scriptures to reason with them because the scriptures don't mean anything to them. So he found an object. He found an idol. That they had all these idols to all these different gods, and he found something that he said, I think these people can identify with this. He says, this idol to the unknown God, I'm going to tell you about him. Now, as we go into a world that is not just void of Christ, to a world that is actually anti-Christ, we need to have an approach. We need to have a strategy in our witnessing that will be effective and something that they will listen to. If all I do is open the Bible, a lot of people are going to look at me and go, yeah, you're one of those. And you know what? Yes, I am one of those. Okay? But I do want people to listen to this message. Paul didn't open up the scriptures here. Here's what he does. He reasons with them truth. Now, as I'm just going to read through it, and then I'll retell it. But as I do this, listen to the strategy that Paul employs. He tries not only to reach their heartstrings, he tries to reach their mind. There are a lot of people that say, well, Christianity, it's a mindless religion. No, it's not. It's a thinking man's faith. So let's read verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. This is a pretty awesome thought, because every single one of them, they're looking at it and they're going, we have all these temples, we have all these idols. And he puts a context to God. God is not one who lives in a temple. He's not one that you can make with your hands. God, just the idea of God, no matter who God is bigger than that. Verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. And is made of one blood, all nations of men, to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, we will hear you again on this matter. I just want to focus the rest of our time here together on what Paul said there. He says, listen, God made everything and does not live in anything that man makes. It's a pretty cool thought, right? Just the idea of God, he makes, he's not dependent on what man makes. You know, one question I get every year when I speak at camps is, who's God's dad? And the kids always think they got me stumped, you know. Where did God come from? You know, this is what makes God God. God is. In fact, we sang about that this morning. Who was and is to come. God has always been. That's what makes him God. If God had a dad, His dad would be God, and he wouldn't. Because God is the first. God is not made with hands. God makes everything. The next thing that Paul says, God does not need man to form him. Listen, as soon as I start if I want to explain God to you, I'm going to fail miserably. Because I can't form God. I can't do it out of a work of art, clay, gold, silver, wood, and I can't really do it verbally very well either. Because God cannot be formed by man. God does not need us to preserve his existence. He's independent of us. We are not independent of him. We need him. We'll get to that in just a second. But he is independent of us. It's man that needs God to have life. He provides breath and everything required to live. If you think about it, if the sun was just a tiny bit closer to the earth, we would burn up. If our atmosphere had a slightly different chemical makeup, we could not breathe. If water had a slightly different mixture to it, we would die of dehydration. God has provided to us what we need to live. And he made from one bloodline all people. It's cool to think about in Ottawa, all the different people groups there. But you know what? All one bloodline. It'd be easy for the Greek to look at Paul and say, oh, you're one of those Jews, and so you people think that God loves you more than he loves anybody else. And Paul says, hey, listen, we all come from the same bloodline. We all come from Adam. Every single one of us. And God has not only decided that we would all come from one bloodline, but now the different groups of people, it was God who decided where they would live. The people who live in China, you know why the Chinese are in China? Not just because their name is Chinese. Because God ordained that those descendants of Noah's family would settle there. And God decided that the descendants of Ham would live in certain places, and that the descendants of Shem would live in certain places, and they were all placed by God. It wasn't an accident. Nature didn't put people in place. It was God who decided where each people group would live. And why? Why did he place man like this? He did it because he wanted men and women to try to get to know him. The occupations that different regions have by nature of where they live. You live near a mine, you're probably going to mine. You live by a big open flat field, you're probably going to farm. You live next to the seaside, you're probably going to fish. Why? God designed it that way. And why different occupations? Why different jobs? So that man would look and say, wow, I've been created uniquely to do something. I need to reach out and find the one who made me to do this. God did that so man would try to get to know him. And perhaps in their pursuit of God, they would discover who God is. So what God did is he put his fingerprint all over the planet. He put an imprint of himself for each person. And God does this so man might feel after him, reach out to touch him, to seek to find him. Because God is not distant. He's close. You know, when you look for God, the reason you look for him is he's looking for you. In fact, in Romans chapter 3, it tells us that no man seeks after God. Why would anybody look for God? Because God first seeks after us. Paul tells them that he has made the knowledge of himself obtainable to man. How did God make the knowledge of God obtainable to man? Well, God did this thing called creation. In Romans 1, there's a lot more on this, but creation teaches mankind there is God. That's his fingerprint. Now, it is in God that we live, we move, we exist. And then he quotes the poets of their day. Even as their poets said, we are the offspring of God. Now, even today, if you talk to a scientist today that's not stuck in the 1960s science book, because a lot of them are, they're still using old science books that have been completely proven to be false. But there are many scientists today, they're looking for something called the spark of life, especially as they try to clone, right? I mean, who would have ever thunk that something like that would be, they can clone sheep, I guess they've cloned a dog, but they can't clone a person. They're looking for this spark of life. Because the question is, how does the inanimate become animate? How does the unconscious take on consciousness? How does matter adapt to morality? My dog has no morals. It lies. It steals. It does what it wants. It's a dog. How does matter adapt to morality? Because every person, every people group that's ever been born inherently, innately has morality. These answers are found in the fact that we are the offspring of God. See, here's the difference. If God were the offspring of man, man would determine the limits and liabilities of God. But since man is the offspring of God, God dictates everything about us. Where we live, how we move. I don't see any four-legged people running around this morning. He created us. He stamped his image on us. We are his offspring. We cannot define, describe, or distinguish God by the use of material means, because he cannot be measured or explained by man's devices. He used to turn a blind eye to man's willful ignorance. Does that mean God didn't care? No, he cared, but he turned a blind eye to it. How did that manifest itself? Well, God chose to work with Israel. And by choosing Israel to work with, he was turning a blind eye, winking at. It doesn't mean that everybody was in God. No, no. All those people that were outside of God, that didn't have faith in God, they were outside of God. They were lost. But God winked at it. He didn't yet send provision that all peoples of the earth would readily look at and agree to until the one that he sent, by which he appoints all judgment. Because Jesus Christ, when he came, he died in paying the penalty for our sins, and the life that he brought through the resurrection from the dead, those are the requirements for us to repent in. We turn from our ways to God's ways. Look with me here at at verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Okay? And now go down to verse 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath risen him from the dead. God has set an appointed time that only he knows, when he will judge everyone who has inhabited this world by the standard of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's righteousness is the exact standard. None of us reach Jesus Christ's righteousness. Romans 3 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The standard of Jesus' righteousness was not only that he was good, it's that he was God. And because Jesus is God, he set a standard of righteousness that none of us could obtain except through belief and faith in him. Everyone who has their faith established in him is assured of physical resurrection of their bodies unto eternal life. Now, the resurrection was a thought that had never come through the Greeks' minds. Reincarnation, maybe. Soul spending eternity somewhere, maybe. But their body being raised from the dead, they had never thought of that. This is a new thought. Now, as we read earlier, they loved new thought. But here's what Paul made them come to grips with. Listen, there's a God who made everything. We come from him. We are his offspring. Therefore, we are subservient to his wants and wishes. He is not a servant to ours. And the standard by which he measures mankind is through Jesus Christ. And the only way we can meet the measure of Jesus Christ is by trusting in what Jesus Christ has done for us. He reasoned with them. I stood out under the stars one night after preaching to a college group, and one of the students came over and he stood by me, and I'm just looking at the stars. They were big that night. You know, there are some nights where they're just, you almost feel like you could grab the moon, you know, and that you could play ping pong with the stars. Anybody ever think that way? Am I crazy? Okay. Amen, amen. Yeah. And I'm standing out there, and I'm enjoying it, and this guy, he stands next to me, and he goes, "Hey, Thad, you were preaching tonight, and you talked about Jesus Christ being the only way of our faith." I said, "Right." And he goes, "Well, I need some help with something." I said, "All right, well, what do you need help with?" He goes, "Well, when I went away to college, I chose to become an agnostic." And I said, "Okay, define for me what it means to you to be an agnostic." He goes, "Well, we can't know for sure any truth." I said, "That's an interesting conversion that you've had." I said, "First of all, your statement is hypocritical." I said, "Are you sure that you can't know?" He kind of scratched his head and he goes, "Yeah, I'm sure." I said, "How? You're sure you can't be sure?" I said, "That doesn't make any sense." I said, "Let's just look up at these stars." I said, "They're pretty beautiful, aren't they?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "So do you choose to believe that they got here by accident?" He goes, "Yup." I said, "Really?" I said, "You know, if one of those stars fell out of the course that it's supposed to be in orbit and rotation and everything, that it would cause catastrophic effects to this earth." I said, "That moon. You know, if it just moves a little bit, our oceans and tides go wildly out of control." And I said, "Do you think that that all fell together as an accident?" He goes, "Well, I just can't know." I said, "The fact that you and I are able to have an intelligent," I said, "well, on my end, intelligent discussion He laughed. He got my humor. And I said, the fact that a couple of the critters we heard chirping over in the woods had no intelligent conversation. And I said, it proves that there is something that is designing and making and creating. He said, well, there are a lot of scientists that think that maybe that's aliens that are doing that. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I said, when you say that, you're choosing to believe in alien life over God life. Where did the aliens come from? So then I said, all right. I said, is it wrong for me to harm you? He goes, I don't know. I got to think about that for a minute. So I decided to hurry up the conversation, and I hit him. I punched him. I just laid back and hit him. And I caught him pretty good right here. And he had a T-shirt on. He lifted it up, and yep, there was my fist imprint right there. I got him good. And he's like, why'd you do that? I said, why not? He goes, well, you can't just go around hitting people. I said, why not? If I can't know what is truth, I can't know what is right or wrong, why can't I just go do whatever I want? He said, because there are morals. And all people have morals. And I said, where do those morals come from? And he just looked, he goes, I know what you're going to say. I said, well, where'd they come from? God. And I said, I'm just going to tell you the truth. The fact is, you don't want to be under God's authority. And so you choose to pretend that you can't know. I said, the thing is, you know, and you refuse it. And that young man, to this day, chooses to live in ignorance. You know, for each one of us, we have a choice to make. There was a time when God winked at it. He said, you know what? I'm going to work with Israel because the rest of these people are just, they're not listening. But today, God holds each one of us in severe accountability because he's given us Jesus Christ. And so for you this morning, you are either in Jesus Christ or you are not. And if you are, for those that you can use scripture with, reason with them from scriptures, and from those that you can't, use God's fingerprint. Use God's creation. Use the fact that we can think. Two greatest things God created: his grace and man's will. The worst thing God created, man's will. And my heart breaks because there are so many people right around us who are choosing to live in ignorance when Jesus Christ has done everything for us. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. And so, Christian, is it in Jesus? You say, well, I believe in Jesus, but is it really in him that you live and move and have your being? Or are you overcome with the devices of this world? Are you enslaved to the pleasures of this life? You know, the truth is, we say we're in Jesus. Boy, we got to live like we're in Jesus. You know what? Paul's testimony is effective because he lived it. As we go on next week, we're going to see he lived it. He's consistent. And we have to live in it. If you haven't been living in it, just fall before Jesus today and say, God, forgive me. Because you know what he's waiting, wanting to do? I mean, he's been dying for you to get it right. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as we sing this invitation song that's for you, I just want to invite you, come on up here. and tell me that you want to trust Jesus. And either I myself or I'll have someone show you from God's word or from creation how you can know Jesus Christ. Or if you just need prayer this morning, the deacons will be moved off to the sides over here. And if you'd just like to go to one of them and pray with them, we'd love to have you just get that prayer that you need. Because today it's all about having our living and our moving and our being in Him. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time, take control of our hearts and lives, and that this invitation time would be for your honor and your glory. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. As we have this time of invitation, we have deacons that have moved to the center aisles. And if you would like to come to trust Jesus Christ, I invite you to come. And let's let God have his way during this time.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred hand for sinners such as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, the cross, oh, the cross, Lord, I thank you for the cross. Oh, the cross, oh, the cross, Lord, I thank you for the cross. My sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Cross, Lord, I
Lord, it's because of your cross. It's because of the design to demonstrate your grace to us that we have so much love and admiration for you. Because you love us, Lord, we love you. And I pray that our hearts this morning, just thinking about the intellectual argument that Paul had with the Epicureans and the Stoics and the people of Athens, that, Lord, he was firm and devout in his defense of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that as we go off into our Athens this week, as we enter into our arenas of the of life, that, Lord, we would have the ability to stand firm and strong on Jesus Christ. So, Lord, as we go from here, we pray that your face would shine upon us, that you would make us profitable unto every good word and work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.